Hello, world, huh?
The green jacket is going north of the border. Mike Weir has won the Masters.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow! In your life have you seen anything like that?
The wait is over for Canadian fans, and the dream is now a reality for Brooke Henderson.
And Corey Connors' day indeed has arrived. He's a winner on the PGA Tour.
A clutch up and down for Mackenzie Hughes. Oh, my goodness.
Time for The Golf Show with Brent Gunning and Sam McKee.
Many doubted we'd ever see it, but here it is. The return to glory
on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Been a while since we heard that one. All fired up.
We need to make an addition.
We do.
Glorious and free.
I was like, I couldn't remember what the Nance call was because I remember my call of, oh my God, McKee.
A lot of Fs involved in that.
Hey, I gave the radio version for a reason. Golf Show here, Brent Gunning and Sam McKee with you.
Many doubted we'd ever see it.
I love it.
Oh my God. That still sends chills up and down my spine every time he says it.
Big time.
Such a sap. I could cry after I hear that every time.
Hello, friends.
Hello, friends.
Always love being with our friends on the Golf Show.
So, I usually get people to text in.
Yeah.
595.
Do you think people are playing a lot of midday Monday rounds?
Monday at 2:03. I don't know if there'll be a lot of people on their way to the golf course. Maybe a little twilight.
A little twilight.
I don't know. But if you happen to be listening to this and you're going to play some golf this evening or now, text us and tell us. Or maybe tomorrow or where you're playing that's coming up that got you excited. Yeah.
We actually do have merch now. We did the promo giveaway. No, we got to talk to our boy Nick so we can shout out the winner there. Mm-hmm. But if we did do merch, it would for sure be just teeing it.
Where are you teeing it?
Love that. Mm-hmm. Did not love the Open Championship this weekend.
Yeah. I didn't love it either.
You go.
I didn't love it either. What can I say? I was incredibly impressed with Brian Harman.
Yep.
I was really rooting hard against him.
Clearly. Everybody was.
And the pre-shot routine made me want to pour bleach in my eyes.
Wackle counter.
But I did think that the coverage and the media surrounding him and a lot of the fans there, it was a little bit unfair, I thought. And
he got screamed, get in the bunker on his first tee shot yesterday.
Yeah, I think I get that there's a hometown guy in the race.
Wasn't even about that, though.
No, and listen, we know very well about Tommy Fleetwood in big situations.
Seen it before.
It ain't really going to work out that well.
Shout out to Rome. Ryder Cup coming up.
Yeah, I mean, he's good in the Ryder Cup, though.
Yeah.
Him and Molinari, they lit it up last time he won, right?
A lot of Molinari.
Yeah, you're right. But I did feel for Brian Harman by the end of it. I did a flip because I was rooting, obviously, very hard.
Anyone else.
He bogeys two, I think, of the first four holes.
Yeah, sounds right.
And then he makes a great birdie on the first par three with a really nice long putt. And then he birdies the next hole to get back to 11. No, get back to 12. Yeah, got back to 12, and that was pretty much it. Because there was at one point where Rahm was down three, where he made a birdie to get, when he put the hat on backwards, and he made it to get to 7 under, and Harman had bogeyed two to get it to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, we got a golf tourney here, boys. We got
a
tourney.
And we did not.
And it happened on Saturday, too, where he makes two bogeys, and he gets down to 9, and you're like, oh, we got a tourney here, fellas. Let's go. And then the bounce back ability of him over the weekend, I just have to give him full credit, and I don't want to because he is the antithesis of what I like in golf. Like, mm-hmm. It's just slow, grinder, waggle, pre-shot routine, horrible-looking putter that's like the size of a flying saucer. I don't know what the hell that thing is. But
it looks like he's putting with home plate.
At some point, you got to tip your cap to the guy because he just lapped the field. He was so much better than everyone else. If you just extracted
him,
Brian Harman, from the tournament, if he just had to WD.
Shout out to Chris Hemsworth. Extraction, too.
Shout out to John Rahm, who got pulled while leading a tournament by four because of COVID in an outdoor tournament. He just was amazing. But you take him away from it, it's legitimately one of the best leaderboards of all time with, like, tons of compelling storylines. So the drama was extracted, but I'm giving the guy credit. I'm tipping my cap.
There was the one clip after his round yesterday where, you know, he got asked about the fans getting on him in the crowd, and he said something to the effect of, did somebody say something to you? Did you hear it? And he said,
yeah,
when I was walking off, somebody said, hey, Harman, you don't have the stones for this. Shout out that guy, I guess.
Hey, Holman, you don't have the stones for this.
Right, that's exact. And how dare you kill that deer? Yes. I didn't like his hunting. Yeah. So you do have to give him credit. I was talking with a few people in the office about this just earlier on. You know, you've given your opinion on the Open Championship and how you feel about it. And I think that at a different major, that maybe goes a little bit differently for him, mm-hmm. where guys can fire at pins a little bit more, be just a little more aggressive. Him being able to play so safe because of the margin he had, there was just no way you could see him give it up. Like even the OB. Yeah,
he doesn't have really the crazy power to give it away like
but
that.
But even the OB, he's a lefty and it's all on the right-hand side. Like I know guys can hook it. We've seen it on the PGA Tour before. It wouldn't be the first time, but generally speaking, if guys have a miss for righties, it's going to be right. For lefties, it's going to be left. And just, you didn't see the blueprint for how it was going to happen. John Rahm, and it could have been anybody else, but he felt like the best hope, had to get that thing to one or two and make him really start to sweat. And then maybe it happened, but because it never got there, Harmon was just firing to the center of every green. He's an awesome putter, so it was two putt city, and there was just no way that it ever felt like it was going to go any other way.
How many putts do you think he had over the weekend? Do you know?
I don't know. Over the weekend, so 36 holes, 36 would be nice, probably more than that. I don't know.
107 putts.
Wow.
Through four rounds of golf.
Oh, okay. I was just looking at the weekend. Yeah, that's absurd.
Yeah. It is the fewest by an Open winner in the last 20 years. Like, it's hard. If you're going to have 107 putts, like, you're not going to lose a ton of golf tournaments.
Our boy Borney sent us the stat heading into, was it Saturday or Sunday, that he was 44 of 44 from inside 10 feet.
Yeah, and they were talking about that.
I don't think anybody's ever lost a tournament. If you're going to do that, if you're going to pour in every 10-footer.
And they talked about that, like, every time, and then he finally missed one. To get it back to 10 under, and everyone's like, and then he's like, makes two long birdie putts.
The birdie he poured in to get it back to 11, that was the backbreaker.
So these are the guys that have, did he end up winning by six shots?
I thought it was five. I could be wrong.
Okay, never mind then. I won't read the stat. Nope. But it was that the American men to win majors by six shots in the last 40 years.
Yep.
Tiger Woods, three times.
Pretty good.
There's three people.
Okay.
Who do you think the other person is outside of Brian Harmon?
Jack?
Nope.
Arnold?
Nope.
Phil?
No, man. Think more recent.
Oh. Rory?
No. Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, that is fake.
Yeah.
It's fake major.
Yeah. Right. He won it by, he killed everyone. Everyone was plus, and he was like, wasn't he 600 par, 500 par?
I feel like Rory, I guess it's not. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just
American man.
That's why. Because I was like, I just have Rory blistering the field at Congressional in my head. I'm pretty sure he won like by 10 or 11 strokes that week. But you're right, by an American man. So yes, that is different there in terms of what we saw. It was a great weekend for him. You have to give him credit. I guess the other part of it as well that's leaving a bit of a sour note for some people off of the back of it is that it's kind of back-to-back majors like this. You know, there was a little more drama with Wyndham Clark at the end.
Way more drama.
But
it was a one-stroke lead, and he almost blew it.
Almost. But this is now, you know, because the thing I had about Wyndham Clark, the thing I was saying coming off the back of that was you don't really get major winners like that anymore. Mm-hmm. Every guy seems like, even Bryson, a guy who won his major and, you know, he had a few moments after that, but it's kind of been fluttering since.
Yep.
Every guy, when you go back over the last handful of years, it's basically with the exception of Gary Woodland, Brian Harmon, and Wyndham Clark, they're all studs, top 10 players in the world. Not nice players like all of those guys are, but super studs. And this is, I won't say concerning for the game of golf, but it is just a bit of a reckoning of what it used to be like. Was not every major winner was, this guy's going to go on and win five more. No, that's the best moment of Brian Harmon's life. Maybe scratches one more off at some point in time, but that's as good as it's going to get. And that's fine. And that's an okay story to have too.
Yeah. And I think, there's probably not going to be many bigger moments in his golfing career. But the thing is, it's not even like, you know, it's not like he's an unknown. Like, you would rather Brian Harmon be like a guy that's
Christo Lampret.
Like any compelling guy that hasn't had like a moment like this or somebody's got an interesting backstory. And it's just Brian Harmon is like the most average normal golfer who's been around forever and just is like made 20 or $30 million in his career playing golf. but being basically anonymous. Like he's, how many people walking down the street are going to be able to recognize?
I don't know that I would, than that guy's short.
Yeah.
That's about all I would have for him.
So
29 million as of, that's very good. As of before the open.
Did you think that was high when I said it?
No, I thought it was high. Pretty good.
Okay,
actually.
Well, it was pretty good.
Charles Howell III. If you go look at how much money he's made, there's no amount of
now
money.
Now with the live too.
He's Chucky Three Sticks is exceptionally rich.
So I wanted drama. You want that in the last major of the year, especially when you're staring down the barrel of no major golf for like whatever 200 days.
Forever.
So, but yeah, hats off to him, I guess. I don't really have anything else.
He's now a Ryder Cupper. He will almost certainly auto-qualify.
That's what I brought up here from our boy, Shane Ryan, of course, the knower of all things Ryder Cup.
And again, just thrilled he's safe after getting kidnapped by security middle of a morning show hit with us.
This team might lose to you.
The Americans.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, Scottie Scheffler obviously has the most points. But, like, I mean, do you trust him to hit a clutch putt in a match play situation?
I trust him to have two putts in a match play situation.
Wyndham Clark is second.
Yeah, that's tough.
Brian Harman is third.
Saw this.
Brooks Koepka is fourth, who I would trust in a match play situation.
Yeah, for sure.
Xander Cantlay, who's good in match play.
What about Xander? Where are you at on him in match play?
He's just so boring to me. And there's never been a guy that's least deserving of the nickname X-Man than... Xander Schauffele. And then to get Cantlay six, and then seven, Homa, Cameron Young's eight, Spieth nine, Keegan Bradley, Morikawa, Ricky Fowler, down the list you go. This is going to be a weird team because a lot of the guys that you want there and are usually like aces.
JT,
you know, Spieth down the standings. He had a good
week. He'll be a captain's pick.
Yeah, he'll be there. But I just do think that this is kind of setting up for your classic America going over to Europe and losing. Like, it really does feel like it's heading in that direction.
Yeah.
Even though a little short guy from Georgia just won.
Just beat everybody
Europe.
In the world. Yeah.
So I do have a funny feeling about the way it's heading for America.
Your Euro auto qualifiers, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood. Just outside of that is Matthew Fitzpatrick, but I believe he qualifies via European points. No, he doesn't, but he'll pick.
Be there.
Bob McIntyre just got himself in there. That was the guy Rory beat at the Scottish Open a couple of weeks ago. So when you look at the top six, maybe a wash is a little strong, but it's more or less a wash between those groups. And honestly, when you look, if you're going to include Wyndham Clark and Brian Harman in there, you might take the Euros. It's just the depth is where they get got every year. That's the thing. It's like you go look at who's the ninth or 10th guy on the States going to be, and it's going to be like Colin Morikawa or something. And then again, somebody named Yannick Paul might be on this team for Europe. But we got our boy Ludvig.
So where's the Rory delegation at after this weekend?
Kind of what I expected, honestly. Okay. I mean, you were on with me after the last major, and we went on with our pals in Calgary.
Yeah.
And Russick bet me if he would finish top 10.
Yeah.
And I thought he would be right there in the mix. This is kind of what I expected. After the win at the Scottish Open, I didn't think that this was going to be some spurring him on. We've seen this movie a million times. He's fast and free. He's playing good golf. He's putting some fake pressure on somebody. It's a guy who had another really solid showing at a major, but needs to win one it's kind of like with DJ, right? We all said the lime green jacket doesn't count. You go win another one, then it does count. All of a sudden it's two majors. It's like, it's almost like Rory has no majors now. And when he wins one, he'll be back to five is kind of how it feels, honestly.
So did you see that Kyle Porter tweet with the scores?
I don't think I did actually. No.
So there have been 36 golfers who have played in and not withdrawn from the last eight majors from 2022 to 2023. Here are their total scores, including the score at the time of miscut, if applicable.
Okay.
Major winners are highlighted on the stats, which you obviously can't see. Who do you think has the best score in those four majors?
Scotty.
It's Rory McIlroy.
Wow.
Minus 41 in eight events.
Yeah.
With zero majors to show for it.
Like,
what do you even feel about that, Gunner? How does that make you feel? Because that is stunning to me.
You're gonna say it's not
the next
fair...
is Scottie Scheffler at minus 36. He obviously has one. Cameron Smith's next. Victor Hovland, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, John Rahm, the X-Man, Cameron Young, Shane Lowry.
You're gonna roll your eyes.
Yeah, I will roll my eyes.
It feels like being a Leaf fan, man. Feels like a really, really talented team, a really, really talented player. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, they just cannot push it over the edge. Now, I think with one of those things as opposed to the other, there's a lot more obvious questions. I've talked about the Leafs there. I think there's holes and stuff.
Yeah.
With Rory, guy needs to have a weekend where he makes some putts. It's kind of that simple. And we've seen him have a weekend where he makes most of his putts. That was last year at St. Andrews. And guess what? Cam Smith stole the jug from him. And then Cam Young stole like $100,000 from him by clipping second
place.
People
forget that people, he was solo third.
Let me tell you who does not. Me, because you never let me forget that. So I have that tattooed onto my brain. But that's where I'm at with Rory is you cannot look at him and say this is a guy who does not show up, does not perform. He injects himself into the mix more or less every single time. And again, Tiger warped our opinion of this. Kepka's ability to go on runs warped our opinion of this. This is what it's looked like for the entirety of golf history is guys knocking on the door, knocking on the door. Now the difference is a player of his caliber should have ripped off one or two in the last 9 years.
Yes, sir.
And there's I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat that for you.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you can look at it and say, oh, he's never – I mean, maybe you can, but I look at that and say
– Because I look at that and say
– He's never won.
He literally has the best score in the last 8 majors amongst all the players in the world, and he hasn't won.
So
to me is like he is cursed and will never win another one.
I mean, you know you're not – you were talking to the very correct guy if you want to bring curses into it. I don't know what his is. I got to go and do the math as to what was happening 9 years ago. I don't know. Maybe there's a movie that came out. Maybe that was like when the first Marvel movie came out and it's the curse of Marvel.
What was the tennis player that he was engaged to?
Oh.
And she did
I always screw it up.
Like
the witches.
You remember that? Has he won since then?
You talk. I got some Googling to do. No, we will have an answer for that by the time we bring Adam Stanley.
He'll know.
The curse
of will be like, it was actually on April 2015.
She put Eye of Newt in there, knew.
What was her
name? I always screwed up. It was Caroline. There's a Canadian player who has a very similar
Wozniacki?
Name. I believe it's Wozniacki, but there's a Canadian with a very similar name. So just make sure you get the right
Wozniacki.
One. Yeah.
Okay,
I do very much remember her with the Witch's Brew Halloween tweet.
Yeah.
How dare she? Cursing my sweet boy.
I'm Googling. So yeah, I think that to me.
You know, like. Gun to your head, is he ever going to win one again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll get one more.
Okay.
I don't think he'll ever win more than one. Like, I think he'll get one to get to five.
Is it going to be a Jack Potbelly Rory?
I think I do. He's just, you know, I'm making fun of you.
Yeah, I know.
Stats.
But
at some point here, right?
Right.
At some point.
Right.
And I think it comes down to the point now where it'll be important if he wins another major, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's Masters or nothing. Like, I won't give him full credit if he wins one more.
Oh, come on.
It's Masters or nothing.
You cannot if he wins the PGA, doesn't count.
They pay me to come on the radio and tell them I can say what I want to say. Everyone talks about he's one of the best players of all time, blah, 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 blah. He needs the Masters. He needs a career Grand Slam.
Is Arnold Palmer a stiff because he didn't win the career Grand Slam?
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, total stiff.
Okay, sure.
You go wearing a sweater.
Yeah, go spread that take around at Bay Hill Club and Lodge next year when you're down there with all your cousins down there. You go spread that take around. That's stiff.
I think the Masters is clearly by far and away the most important one. We'll give him credit.
Not going to disagree with that.
We'll give him credit for winning.
Oh, God.
We'll give him credit for winning the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship, the stat pattern.
Yeah, the U.S. Open, only the toughest test in golf.
No, I know. Like I just said, the U.S. Open, I'll give him credit for it. I will. But I really do think for me to give my full Rory McIlroy is a all-time great player take and completely agree with it will be he has to win the Masters.
Is Brooks Koepka an all-time great player?
Eh, not really.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure I know somewhere.
I don't think people talk about, they should talk about Brooks in the same vein they talk about Rory McIlroy, but they don't. Rory McIlroy is talked about he's like on Tiger's level. Like he's always been compared to Tiger. He's always been like the next one, the next one, the next one. And like he's had an excellent career.
For sure.
But I don't think of him as like an all-time great.
The reason Koepka is not talked about it in that way is partially is that his lows were obviously way lower than Rory's lows. He was lost in it. And I mean, you can roll your eyes about it if you do or don't want to, but he removed himself from the game of golf for the better part of a year playing on a, you know, fake tour that doesn't matter. in Brooks Koepka. So I think that's part of the reason why he's not talked about. I think if he was on the PGA Tour for the last year and he was going head-to-head with Rory at the Players or the Waste Management or whatever, I do think he would have been kind of more part of the lexicon. If you look at all those LIV guys, with the exception of Phil, he stayed in our minds for some reason, but all of them were kind of forgotten, even Cam Smith, right?
So what? When did Rory win his last major?
2014.
Do you...
It was either the PGA. They changed the order, so I think it was the PGA then, but it could have been the Open.
Okay, so it doesn't really line up then.
Okay,
because
I've been trying to figure out what cursed the Leafs.
This story from the Golf Channel website.
Good source.
On May 30th, 2014.
Mm.
Cursed? Question mark. Wozniacki alters avatar as McIlroy struggles, and the picture is so good.
Oh yeah,
it's so the look on her face is perfect. Caroline Wozniacki changed her avatar photo on her Twitter account to one of her as a witch's costume stirring a potion in a cauldron. Meanwhile, ex-fiancé Roy McIlroy was struggling in round two of the Memorial Tournament.
So maybe it just took a while to take hold. Like it's a long, it takes a while.
Yeah, she delayed the Eye of Nude edition.
Yeah, she's just like, won't put the Eye of Nude in. Trying to be fair, she's like, look, we got to give him a chance to win the PGA this year, and then we will put in the Eye of Newt. I do like that, though.
I have another tortured golfer stat for you.
Thank you.
Scottie Scheffler.
I do
his
like
major it. Season.
Yep.
Masters, second tee to green. 50th putting. PGA, first in tee to green. 34th putting. U.S. Open, third tee to green. 37th putting. And the Open, third tee to green, 74th putting.
Yuck.
And the person who replied to that tweet said the winners of those tournaments, Rahm was first tee to green in the Masters, 22nd putting.
Mm-hmm.
PGA, Koepka, second tee to green, 14th putting. U.S. Open, Wyndham Clark was seventh tee to green and fourth putting.
Yep.
Harmon, 17th tee to green and first in putting. So what I'm telling you there is there's a few different ways to skin a cat, but I think it's pretty clear you can't be the worst in the field at putting.
Oh, well, would you like this? Yes. This from Kyle Porter. Rory this week, off the tee, first.
Yeah.
Approach, fifth.
Yeah.
Putting. They apparently count players who did not make the cut, 112th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a major. Like, that's when everyone was so excited about it. It's like, oh, it's the Scottish Open. He made a couple clutch putts. It's like, yeah, it's Scottish Open. It's not a major. Like, it's a different thing. It's a completely different thing. And as soon as that flips, it's like the opposite of the Tiger effect. It's like, oh, I've got Rory chasing me.
Yeah, you're right, man. He's just such a choker. He's only been the best performer in those tournaments over the better part of, what was it, one or two calendar years that you just gave me there.
Yeah, but, you know, he wasn't highlighted in the list.
No, I know. Major championships. He was at the top of it, though, right?
Yeah, he was.
His best score to it, because yes, he can't make any putts in a major.
Well, he does on Sunday, but it doesn't count.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. That's what it happens. Like, he was even doing it yesterday. Everyone's like, oh, here we go. He's getting hot. It's like, oh, he's 6 under, getting hot. Then it's just over. It's like, oh, yeah,
we can do revisionist history.
He's just not clutch. He's not clutch in majors. He's clutch in other situations. He beat Scottie Scheffler at the FedEx Cup last year. Like, he's got clutch moments outside of majors. He hit a putt to literally win the tournament the week before.
Uh-huh.
Clutch player outside of majors.
Clutch Ryder Cupper.
Sure. All that. But the thing that matters the most, he is the least clutch in. That's it.
I mean, I wouldn't say he's the least clutch if he has
amongst
the
great
best
players.
Okay. All right. Well, qualify it. Don't make me.
He has the best score without any wins. So what does that tell you?
Well,
that he has a ton of backdoor top tens, top, because he's out of it in the start.
Well,
and then he gets hot when it doesn't matter as
much. Or it tells me that he got clipped by, like, Cam Smith, full credit to him, went out and ripped the mug out of his hands. That's not because Rory's not.
Yeah, it is. He didn't make one putt.
It's not because he's not clutch. It's because Cam Smith was amazing.
You know, yeah, and he could have easily won that tournament if he made one putt, two putts. All he needed was two putts to drop over a whole round, and he two-putted every hole. How can you say that's not clutch? It's the opposite of clutch. It is.
You just highlighted to me, these are the only tournaments that matter. This is the guy who has performed the best.
Well, no, he has the best score. He hasn't performed the best.
Well, I think
winning is the performance. That's the best thing, is winning. Winning is the point, not having the best score over an 8-major stretch. Winning is the important thing.
If you would tell me that Rory was never in the mix and was strictly backdoor top 10ing, sure, but that's not the case. He is in the mix a lot in those times. A lot of them are backdoor top 10s too, but it's kind of a one or the other with him. Like, there's the odd MC in there, but it's pretty much backdoor top 10 or right in the thick of it. So I hear what you're saying, but I don't think that this is a guy who's never going to hit a putt that matters again. This guy's getting more majors in his career.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
Let's bring on someone who definitely agrees with me.
Yeah, great. I know you'll love that.
Adam Stanley.
Yeah.
Me and him were texting about the joys of coffee golf and Rory McIlroy making runs yesterday.
Oh, what a run it was.
What a run.
What a run it was.
God, I hate you. You're the worst.
It's so true. Like, what a run it was. It's been 10 years.
Nine.
Yeah, it's going to be 10. By the time the next major starts, it's 10.
No, because you're going to win the Masters. I don't know what you're talking about. Brent Gunning, Sam McKee, Golf Show, Sportsnet, 590 The Fan.
Unrivaled insight, analysis, and opinions on all things Blue Jays. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, hello, golf show. Hello, friends. Brent Gunning, Sam McKee here. Very, very pleased to welcome in the Cal Ripken of Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We're going to have him on every day till he drops. Adam Stanley joining us now. The Stanimal himself, golf content beast and girl dad extraordinaire. Stanley, how's it going, bud?
going very well. Thanks for asking. Hope you guys are doing well as well. I'm actually off to Fox Harbor golf resort tomorrow for a couple of days for a little media trip. Like Sam, you got to get the flex out of the way early just to put it out there and we'll
Fox
go from there.
Fox Harbor, beautiful.
Sounds lovely. I saw you at a Titleist fitting day the other day. You're making the rounds. You were in our neck of the city the other day. It's great to see you're doing things here, Stanley. And you know,
we're doing our best.
You say we're doing well, but we are not. This will shock you. Despite Brian Harman winning the Open Championship, we spent the last 10 minutes of our first segment arguing about Rory McIlroy. Of course we did. Let's talk Harman for a second here. You know, I think it's always a little weird when you get a major like this. It is a guy who obviously, you know, we're all aware of, we've all heard of, but he is not a sexy name and it, you know, wasn't a compelling final score. What do you make of Harman as a winner, and his story, and what'd you make of the weekend as a whole?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of a conundrum to explain how excited or not, or how emotionally invested I was in the Open Championship the last couple of rounds, because take, you know, Brian Harman out of the equation. If it was Rory or Rahm or Scottie Scheffler or even Tommy Fleetwood and one of these guys, and they were leading by this much, you would want them to keep the pedal down so hard and try to just dominate this event, and how much could they win by? But somebody like Brian Harman, just not a needle mover, you wanted him to start coming back to the field. So then the rest of the day, certainly Sunday, but definitely on Saturday as well, could be at least filled ever so slightly with some drama. So now, all that being said, like, what more can you do but tip your cap to Brian Harman? I mean, he missed one putt inside of 10 feet all week long. Guy made six bogeys and bounced back with a birdie four times. And he's just been an absolutely steady presence on the PGA Tour for a decade, 12 straight years. He's made the FedEx Cup playoffs. You know, funny thing is, he's ranked 26th in the world, which is higher than what Wyndham Clark was ranked, obviously higher than what Brooks Koepka was ranked. Gary Woodland, Hideki Matsuyama, they were kind of around that 25 rank as well. So you zoom out a lot, you peel back layers, you strip the name and the non-needle moving out of it, and you kind of just say, yeah, this guy deserved to win the Open. And he did it in almost record-breaking fashion, and it wasn't all that exciting, but he did it. He won. No one can ever take it away from him, and now he's going to go celebrate mowing 40 acres of grass.
Yeah, I love that. I have to say, the
Mark Leishman, jealous. That's a lot more grass than he has.
Louis Oosthuizen, jealous. Kubota, tractors, big time.
Because it's a very similar feeling to what I had when Hideki won the Masters, where, you know, you don't want the Masters to be ruined by a non dramatic Sunday. It's like we all look forward to that Sunday every year and you want drama, right? So I was kind of rooting against Hideki. And at the end of it, I felt bad. And then yesterday and on Saturday, I was watching that and I was clearly rooting against Harmon. His pre-shot routine made me want to gouge my eyes out.
The waggle counter.
Oh, my God. But I did, by the end of it, feel kind of bad for how hard I was rooting against. This guy just had the weekend of his life from a PGA Tour lifer that's been really good golfer for a really long time. And he just was so good at him. Like, it's hard to imagine how good, like, lapping that field that hard. Like you said, it's a huge tip of the cap moment because he just played unbelievable golf.
Yeah, and he was just so dialed. Even when you started to think that he was giving it back, he took it right back. And there was a couple moments when it was like, you guys are already talked about it. I mean, Rory goes 3-under par through five, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is happening. John Rahm shoots 63 on Saturday, and you're like, all right, this guy is so focused, and he is just ready to pounce on Brian Harmon and, you know, just do unspeakable things to him because he's so small and John Rahm is so big. But, you know, none of those stories came to fruition, and Brian Harmon just kept doing exactly what he had been doing for, you know, the three days prior, and ended up winning and won by a long way. And I think, you know, Sam, to your point about Hideki, okay, you know, fine, maybe not quote a name, but at least there was that kind of global layer that you could say, yeah, okay, well, now that we're a couple years removed and you look at, you know, what kind of effort that victory has meant for the entire country of Japan. And it's like, wow, like, holy crap. That was a really, really big moment for him. But, you know, Brian Harmon's in mid-30s from Sea Island, Georgia. And, you know, he said it himself. It was a boring win and he's going to go celebrate in a boring way. And this kind of is what it is.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting now. This is the second major winner we've got who's kind of like that. And I guess the question, and I don't know if there's an answer to this yet. I guess we'll find out at the Ryder Cup. But you've got Brian Harmon and Wyndham Clark now, guys who are almost assuredly to be on that team. Do you think that they can have some moments in a tournament like that that can turn them from a nice story to a little bit more of a name and somebody we do kind of think of? Like, I'm just trying to think if there's a crossover is way too strong of a term, because I don't even know that, like, Brooks Koepka is a crossover athlete or John Rahm, but an idea of just having a little more kind of credence in the game. Do you think that them being Ryder Cuppers can kind of do that for them this September?
Yeah, I mean, Brian Harmon, he stayed an amateur longer so then he could play in the Walker Cup in 2009.
Like, saw those picks floating around. Yeah. Great, had a hair on him back then.
Great chunk of lettuce, and it's totally removed now. But I guess that's what three kids does. But anyways, so he played Walker Cup 2005, really, really solid record, and then stayed an amateur so then he could play the Walker Cup again in 2009. You know, what's interesting is, you know, Canadian fans of golf, people who, you know, quite literally cover the sport for a living, you know, things like the Walker Cup, like, it doesn't really kind of register for at least me personally until such time as the Ryder Cup rolls around and, you know, American journalists like, you know, the Kyle Porter and the Chris Solomons and the No Laying Up guys and et cetera, start trotting out these records of these events that happened when these guys were like 17, and you think what is important about this? But then you look at the Walker Cup team from when Brian Harmon was on it, and it was like, yeah, Brian Harmon and Ricky Fowler and, you know, Spieth and Thomas played on a Walker Cup team together. It's a pretty impressive thing. So between the two, if you want to ask me specifically between Wyndham Clark and Brian Harmon, I do think that Brian Harmon, you know, small B Bulldog and capital B Georgia Bulldog, who played incredibly well at the NCAAs, like, I think he's going to be a menace at the Ryder Cup, like an absolute menace. And you think about the golf course that they're going to go play at, it's going to be set up to favor the Europeans, tight, short, emphasis on ball striking, emphasis on putting. And that is exactly the kind of golfer that Brian Harmon is. So, you know, Wyndham Clark, I don't think his body of work is big enough for me to make a judgment call either way. He's kind of just had a really, really good year. And again, you know, kudos to him. But I do think that Brian Harmon's going to be, you know, going to be a serious factor at the Ryder Cup on the U.S. side.
Yeah, I was talking about this earlier in the show with Gunnar, but just the way this is all trending for me in terms of some of the big name guys for, like, when I read out that that list of names for that's auto qualifying for.
Yeah. It's not what you would expect on Team USA.
It seems underwhelming, and it just,
yes,
I'm the way it's kind of lining up here it just feels like the way it always lines up for Europeans going into the European Ryder Cup. Like when it's over there, it just feels like America always starts scuffling at the wrong time. And it just, to me, like, you know, that team that won, what was the last one? Where was that? Was that at?
Whistling.
Yeah. Like that team was completely unbeatable. Like that was one of the greatest golf teams ever assembled. But this one, to me, going into Europe, I got to say, America's still the favorite. I might hop on Europe as an underdog here. Yeah. Like they got a chance to beat them for sure.
Yeah, that was quickly on your point about the Whistling Straits team. Scottie Scheffler was the number 12 guy on that Whistling Straits team, right? And now Scottie Scheffler literally has twice as many points as the number 2 guy on the standing. So the guys are not giving a lot of confidence to, you know, Captain Zach Johnson right now. The good news is that, you know, you look down the list and there is kind of a plethora of names that could be picked for this team that have been around these teams for a long time. You know, Tony Finau's at number 19, JT obviously, who's been playing like absolute hot garbage, you know, he's at 14, but maybe he needs, you know, the spark of a pick to be on the Ryder Cup to say like, hey, we believe in you, for him to kind of turn his season around. But then you go, Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman, you know, Max Homa is going to be a rookie. And then Cameron Young might be a rookie as well. Those guys are all, you know, that's 4 of the top 8 who are going to be first timers at the Ryder Cup. And Cameron Young's only in his second season as a PGA Tour pro. And then you look at the European side and all those guys, not only are they experienced, but they're playing really, really good golf right now as well.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Hovland, Fleetwood; those guys can't keep themselves off the top 10 of a leaderboard. And I mean, I love a Ryder Cup, so I can't wait for it. We're 2 months away, and I'm already dying for it. One name you
more
mentioned there,
golf,
more coffee golf. We love it. Two of us do. Sam McKee, on the other hand. Yeah.
As long as it's not Lynx, I'll be fine.
One of the names, I wanted to talk to you about that you just mentioned there is Max Homa. You know, this is a guy who's super popular player. Feels like every time a major rolls around, he's a pick. And I think there'd be a lot of people who'd be surprised to find out that was his first ever, let's be honest, decent result. He had one other T13.
First top 10 of his career
in a major. Do you think that will kind of unlock something for him? We know majors are different. Sam McKee will never stop reminding me that about our sweet boy Rory. But do you think this maybe unlocks something for Homa here?
I don't think it couldn't be a bad thing. I don't think you're right. Most, even, you know, casual listeners, someone's in the car, they're sports, they probably know Max Homa, or at least know of Max Homa. He's done a tremendous job of transcending, you know, the sport of golf and has become, you know, a bit of the conversation of the pop culture in sport, and for good reasons. Like, he's so, so nice and he's such a good guy. But the other part of it is like, he's also really, really good. Like, he's in the top 10 in the world or thereabouts, and has won twice on tour already this year. And he's just a really, really good golfer. But you are 100% correct in saying that the major championships and the stages that they are on are just totally and utterly different. And Max has never played well at the majors over the last, you know, half decade or so. And the U.S. Open was kind of his for the taking this year. The LACC, California kid, does good. You know, he's always playing well at golf courses on the West Coast swing, and he just laid a total egg. And it was so, so weird to see that. And then equally weird to see him play as well as he did this past week at Royal Liverpool. But kudos to him. Again, maybe it's one of those like, man, I got to get my rear in gear if I want to be on this Ryder Cup team, which I really, really do want to be part of, because obviously at the President's Cup, I don't know if he went undefeated or if he went 4-0-1 or what the deal was. But, you know, again, we talk about guys who could be an absolute menace on a team. Max Homa could be one of those guys. And I think to have as solid a result at a major that came thanks to a solid finish on Sunday when it was absolute Armageddon, which is what Brian Harman said. You know, I think it's a good thing. It's a really good thing for Max Homa.
Like I gotta be honest. I stopped watching. I went outside because it was so nice.
And McKee texted me a picture of him on a boat as Brian Harman was cleaning things up.
It's just like, I'm watching a guy that I don't care about dominate a golf course in the pouring rain when it's 25 degrees and sunny. It's 25 degrees and sunny. I'm going outside. Like, I watched enough of this. The weather is just, I'm sorry, there's nothing appealing about it to me.
Honestly,
we're circling back on the Lynx golf.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to beat down on Lynx golf here, but I will.
No, here's the problem. Here's the problem, Stanley. Even though we are smack dab in the middle of summer, he can already feel it ending, and his couch is painful to him. What's happening.
There was a breeze out there today. I was like, oh, feels like fall. Yeah.
Oh, no. Guys got to find a quarter zip and be done with it.
Yeah, exactly. Throw one. When I got the
note about coming on the show, I was just in my head. All I could think about was McKee's Lynx golf take, because we finally got, you know, you turn on the TV and there is Lynx Golf Sunday. It's like, here it is, the British Open.
And he still didn't want it.
I was like, finally got moving. But McKee, to your point, I could not name one of the, like, if you were laying out those holes in front of me now and asked me which golf course were they on, I couldn't tell you if they were Royal Liverpool or not. No. I couldn't do it.
No, it looked like every course they've ever played on, except for the one with the hotel on it and at St. Andrews. That's it.
We'll make sure that the golf media at large doesn't hear this podcast, Adam. No.
I'm okay with it.
I have no problem with your opinions, McKee. Yeah. You know, Adam, you're respected in the game.
I like playing Lynx golf. I like it a lot, but I really couldn't name one of these holes. I couldn't do it.
Well, I think I could do 18 because of the stupid inbound OB inbound.
Oh my gosh! Here we go.
Oh yeah, it's like, oh, I hit a totally reasonable golf shot that missed by 10 yards. Oh, punished. It's like, oh, it's hit into these stupid bunkers that you can't get out of. Punishment. I hate it. Anyways, we're done here. Right. I don't want to keep yelling at you about Lynx.
We could not be farther away from another Lynx golf stage.
You're right.
They don't have
Lynx in Rome?
No. I'm going to get them to build it just for you, though. Stanley, thanks so much, bud. Always love getting you on. And again, Cal Ripken of Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Talk to you soon. See you guys.
There he goes. I love that man.
No, oh,
it's great.
All timer.
You didn't want to do Rory with him, eh? You had enough with me, or
listen,
you don't want the ganging
like,
up?
No, I can only say he's not clutch so many times. And he would have given a great answer about, he would have been diplomatic about it, and I would have looked like a dick for asking it like I always do.
So really what you're getting at is it's like, you can hammer me with that because I'm just going to get angry to Rory.
But I know ultimately that like, he's more of a, I would say he's more of a golf journalist.
Yes.
Rory likes Rory because he's an affable, good quote. And that's part of the reason you love him.
Because he testifies.
Yeah. He's in the test. Yeah. He testifies.
Oh, he's in the pit.
Oh yeah. He loves when Rory waxed poetic about everything and about how, you know, he got asked yesterday about how the majors, you know, like, do you think about it? It's almost 10 years. He's like, I'm just looking ahead.
Love it.
To the race to Dubai. It's like,
give me that's tough. Okay, I don't like that.
Well, it's like, oh my god. He's like, the FedEx Cup, which I've won. It's like, yeah, that's what they count at the end of your career, buddy. We all know that.
I mean, you're Larry Live. You know what they count? The $10 million he gets for winning that.
Yeah, it's like the race to Dubai. He's like, I would never play for Live, but I will play in the race to Dubai.
I'm not going to pretend to know what the difference is there. I think there is one. I don't know.
No, it's the DP.
Yeah, no, I know.
Thing, and he's leading the most in points.
Oh, no, I know what the race to Dubai is.
He mentioned that in his post.
I'm not going to say. All I'm trying to say is I'm not blind to the fact that there could be some shady goings on there as well. I'm trying to throw you an olive branch here. I did pull up. You were mentioning Ryder Cup odds. Obviously, lots of books, different places. The one I use.
Mm-hmm.
It's one I'm seeing. It is. I'm seeing tie.
Hold on.
Oh, you want to guess? Can I give you a tie first?
Yeah, give me a tie.
Tie, plus 1,200.
Okay, Europe is probably either I'm going to say plus 175.
Pretty good. You want the number?
Yeah.
Plus 162.
Okay.
It's a little shorter than we want.
No, I mean, that's good value.
Good value.
It's really good value.
Hammer that now. Wait.
America's what, minus 175?
163.
Yeah, okay. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not crazy. It's America.
I mean,
and
you look at the names again. Yeah. Colin Morikawa or somebody of that ilk, like Justin Thomas. Yeah. Let's actually do that here.
Yeah.
Your Zach Johnson.
Yeah.
You have won at the Old Course and Augusta, and you have dinked a ball off the tee at Augusta and going, y'all can laugh. That's embarrassing. That's you.
Yes.
And Justin Thomas is just blowing up your phone, being like, I'll fold the towels. I love the team. Trust me. I got game. I bet he's
lobbying.
Angling.
He's lobbying.
He's not saying I'll fold the towels, but like he's making it known he still wants in.
I'm going to give you a bad radio answer.
You don't know.
I'm waiting until the last possible second I can.
Yep.
But right now, no. There's just no.
That's fair. That's like, totally fair.
He's been awful, Gunnar. He's outside of the, like, he's not in the playoff picture right now.
Yep.
Like he is, Like, he's going to have to do some work to get into majors. Like,
so he is playing in the, he's playing in the 3M Open this week, because he needs the points to get in.
Yeah.
And this is one of the bigger gets in their tournament history. They got two spots now. He is outside of a playoff spot looking in, which is just absurd for a guy who's as talented as he is. It does not make any sense. I mean, it does, because we've all been lost in the wilderness and in golf before, but this is next level. Because he was a guy who, you know, it's funny. I think back to when we went on with Bunk doing like Masters preview, and we were out on him then. We should have just stayed out on him the whole year, because he never got it going.
Well, he mentioned it. He's like, I like JT at the Masters.
We're both
I was like, no.
We were doing we were doing a sponsored best bet, and we're like, don't do that.
Don't do that one. Anyone but that one. He's like, he's always talking. I'm like, don't.
No.
I promise you.
So here's the guy. Again, we just kind of went over this, but just a little resetter. Here is all the guys who will need a captain's pick as of right now to get in. Homa. Cameron Young. Actually, here's how we'll do this.
This is actually a good field at the 3M this week.
Yeah. You stop me when you would pick a guy over JT.
Okay.
Homa.
Oh, no, I would pick Homa.
Young.
No.
Jordan Spieth.
No.
Keegan Bradley.
Yeah.
You would still.
Yeah. I mean,
guy won recently. He's a really Ryder Cup. He's a major winner.
No, actually, I think I would take
Keegan Bradley.
Yeah, I would take Keegan Bradley right now. Yeah.
Colin Morikawa.
Colin Morikawa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is where the train stops for me.
Okay.
Ricky Fowler.
I think they're just kind of the same. Like, at that, like.
You think it's the same guy?
Yeah, at this point of their career. Like, you know, with the way that I would take Thomas over.
I would take Thomas because of vibes, whatever. Yeah. And you can sit him and he's not going to sulk because he sucked. And then the only other guy ahead of him on points, Sam Burns.
Sam Burns is a good player, but
I would like to look at Sam Burns' track record, and if it's been good lately, he can go.
Yeah.
And if it's not, he cannot. And I think it's probably been bad, because he was an absolute heater at the tail end of last year.
So I'm looking at the odds for the 3M.
Yes.
And this tells you all you need to know about Justin Thomas.
Not a favorite.
He's plus 2,200.
Wow.
At the 3M.
A bad field, yeah.
Well, I mean, the
not a bad field. No, you're
Tony Finau is the favorite.
Defending champ.
Cameron Young is at 14-1, Sungjae Im 14-1, Hideki plus 1,800, and then JT's the next at plus 2,200.
You got to be honest, I'm kind of floored at all these guys playing this week. Like, I know some of those guys need the points, but that's pretty weird.
Taking a look at these numbers quickly down here, love Sahith Theegala at 30 plus 3,500.
God, would love to see him get a dub.
And he's a great young player. This is the kind of tournament that usually guys win their first one at, where it's like not the best field, but they're I'm going
to
go with that.
Tony Finau got a win there. Yep. That was a guy who needed a breakthrough there. I could be wrong. Bad thing to guess on air. Your favorite show on the station coming up next?
No, it's not.
No.
It's Ben Ennis.
Oh, okay.
But I love Ben Ennis.
You do love Ben Ennis.
I love Ben Ennis.
Blair Barker coming up 5-7. No, I'm sorry. I forgot. You know, what? Oh, he's grilling us through the glass. He's back from vacation.
Quickly. James from Shallow Lake, which is a hamlet about 10 minutes outside of Owen Sound. I'm going to play Sauble Golf Club today after work.
There you go.
Love it. So we got one. Where are you teeing it? Sauble Golf Club. Great little track.
Hit it well. Hit it well. We will be back tomorrow. Little 12-3 action across the Sportsnet Radio Network. It's been the Golf Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And my favorite show on this station, Fan Drive Time with Ben Ennis, coming up next. Keep on listening. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.